Somebody like Reinhold Bonnke is not an evangelist. He's an apostle. Those are the men that the Bible calls apostles. I'm not talking about which one is bigger, which one is lower. So, title doesn't really mean it. Most people, they call pastors, pastors. They are just elders according to the scriptures. They are elders. Forget that somebody poured oil on you and gave you a certificate and wrote pastor on top of it. If you read the Bible, a pastor must be a teacher of the word of God. Not an administrator. Deacons and elders do administration. That word, pastor, implies that, it does not imply that he's in charge. I don't know whether I get my point. It does not imply that he's in charge. It just means that when you give him the Bible, he's able to decode the scriptures and bless people with it. That's what it means. What I'm trying to explain is that, so don't even kill yourself over what is my title. You now go to the place, say, if your dead minister sits on this side, it's not necessary. That's the point I'm trying to make. It's not necessary. People fight. If you see, people fight for title. And there are a lot of 419 people in Nigeria now, they take advantage of it. One day somebody invited me for something. What's happening? They are awarding him honorary doctorate. I look the guy in my mind. I hope they are not planning to destroy you. Now go ahead, I'll put the title in front of your name. You know, one of the ones I tell campus people, young boys on campus, I said, stick with the title, bro and sis. When you go to school and you are now pastor this, mommy this, daddy this, this boy is 21. And that means he's old. I mean, some of them are 18, 19. And they are going, in fact, some Pentecostal churches are destroying young people. And I will say that directly. They appoint them on campuses as students, as pastors and co. Nothing wrong with that. But they now teach them to carry themselves with dignity because they are pastors. And they don't, when I was in school, what we meant when we're elders in the fellowship, leaders, who are elder, how can small boy be elder? I mean, when we're leaders, how can you elder what? Come on, stop that. What we meant by carrying ourselves with dignity was that we couldn't jump the fence. In my fellowship on campus in Benin, once you became, because to go from hall 2 to hall 3, you could either go through the gate or just jump over the fence, you know, just shutting the thing. You're a leader in LCC, you cannot jump the fence. This will make you laugh. We were not even allowed to cross the lawn. That was the dignity we were taught to carry ourselves with. But boys, these days, what do? Another fellow student will be carrying his briefcase. He will now wear a suit and a tie. The idiot is a student. Sorry, I chose the word idiot carefully with a lot of meditation. He wears, some of them even go and recall their hair. I know one in Benin. And I apply something on his hair. Be speaking for now. That guy has never crossed the Poba River. He just speaking. Praise God. Hey, guy, you just look. Destruction. If there's no repentance, this boy will be destroyed. You know, I feel sorry for them. Please take a last message to all these pastors of churches in the town. Stop destroying young people. Ban them from using those titles. Let them know they are brothers and sisters like the rest of them. When I was in the University of Benin, as a leader in fellowship, we're the only ones that couldn't beg for money when we're broke. If any sister gave you food, it's a personal friend. Not this one of worship of elders these days. Listen, in fact, those days, the only people who used to give us food, people like Bomian and Co, were on the same executive. So it was based on relationship. Believe me, it is best for young people. Don't even, if they say, okay, honor those who minister in word and in doctrine. Say, listen, on this campus, we ain't honoring anybody ministering in anything. We'll better leave your honor to God. We'll go and give that offering. No, listen, let the young people learn how to serve. You're destroying them. You see, small boys. One day, one young woman called me. I was supposed to help. Youth copper. She made one fatal mistake. Okay, not fatal. One bad mistake. He said, I'm pastor this. I said, no hope. I'm not talking to you. I'm not seeing you. You are too small to be introducing yourself to me as pastor this. Not because I'm bigger than you, you know, my ministry, but you're just leaving school. Don't destroy yourself going around trying to open doors with yourself for yourself with pastor title, what do you call it? Title, pastor. What do you know? What do you know? You don't know anything. It's just small, small kids. They call them mommy this. That's how they won't find a good husband. Yes, now, because you want to mommy everybody. And listen, husbands don't want to be mommied. They don't want, look, they had a mommy. They are running away from the mommy. What's your problem? Their mother is their mommy. And they say, listen, enough of this mommyship that mommy is doing for me. Let me find somebody who can be a wife. Now I want him to be treating you. They forget. One of our brothers, he told his sister in America because she was a mommy. He said, look at you. They were calling you mommy. Did you ever hear mommy from my mouth? She was the one telling me. The husband told her, they were calling you mommy, mommy. Which kind of mommy is that? Did you ever hear mommy from my mouth? Listen, if you're a mommy or fellowship, if a man can't tell you that, he's not a good husband for you. You marry a man who can tell you, my friend, mommy, drop that mommy thing. We don't reach house now. I'm the daddy. What I'm saying is that, listen, no, I'm serious about this. Churches these days are destroying young people. You're anointing them with titles, and you see the boys too, they go to school because they are children. They are children. And I said, pastor, you shouldn't be carrying your own briefcase. He said, whosoever wants to be the greatest amongst you, let him be the servant of all. That's what the Bible says. You can carry chair. The only reason why we may say don't carry chairs, not because you are too big, because we say, okay, you are busy. Let us of us who are not doing that, but don't come and say, I'm too big to carry chair. No, this is a message. Go and warn all big pastors in town. If you have fellowship on campus, please spare those young boys, those young girls the trouble. Their title should be brother this, sister this. They can be leaders, but don't let them get titles into their heads. It will destroy them in life. Guess what, my name is this small boy dropping titles. If you come and see me and you come from campus, say I'm pastor this, you've written yourself off instantly. I'm just looking at you. Uh-huh. So, pastor, what can I do for you? I talk to young men and women. As for these pastors, I don't have their time. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. I said it should open somewhere, right? Let's read it from here. From verse 1, Paul said, are we beginning to commend ourselves again, or do we need, as some, letters of commendation to you or from you? He said, you are a letter written in our hearts, known and read by all men, being manifested that you are a letter of Christ, and all of that. Let me just jump to verse 4. And such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Now listen to this. He said, we have confidence, such confidence, all right, that you are our letters, all right? He now said, not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who made us adequate as servants of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. What is humility? Humility is to understand that nothing is coming from yourself by itself. Are you getting what I'm saying? That it is not you. All right, that's what humility is. To understand that even though Babylon may be great, it was not built by your might, neither is the purpose the glory of your majesty, which was what Nebuchadnezzar did the other way around. He said, this is Babylon the great, which I built by myself with my own power. And why did I do it? To show the whole world how great I am. What is humility? The other day I was talking about what it means to be anointed. A man can say, I'm anointed, and what he's saying is, I'm better than other people. But when I tell my wife, I say, listen, I'm anointed, what it means is simple. There are times I hear things said. In fact, there was a day my wife said, we finished Bible study here. He said, my husband, you don't teach me things again. That those things we're saying, do you know I'm hearing them for the first time? I said, my sweetheart, it's not only you, it's me too. Two of us were hearing it for the first time. Are you getting my point? Yes, I'm the one that preached it, but I was hearing it for the first time. And I say to her all the time, no, it's not because I have read plenty. It's not because I'm more dedicated. Listen, my wife used to say I was the strangest Christian she ever saw. I fasted less until now. I fast less than most people. When I see preachers saying they're on the 4-day fast, they might not try. So you know they're hungry, have you? I just wonder, how did they manage? I don't know. So they prayed all night. Oh boy, what was the problem? Was there something wrong? Because chances are that I will fall asleep after the first, you know, after a while. No. I wonder, you know, I'm being honest with you. So they were on 40 days fast. 40 days. Oh boy, you're on your own. Jesus has died to save the world. Since then, nobody should fast 40 days. That's my philosophy. I don't think I see people say that. This one, there's a serious problem. They're going to fast one whole week. There are pastors that regularly, 1 week, dry fast. If God says that's the price of the anointing, he can keep it. Yeah. I'm not, because if you get it by 1 week dry fast, you will maintain it by 1 week dry fast, and you will die fast. I have told the Lord, you have to arrange another way for that anointing. I don't mean try like you can keep it. What I'm just trying to say is that I know that's not what you're saying. Listen, those of Pastor Frank here. Yeah. Look, when we first entered school those days, university, we used to do it too. They said, today is FMP. Ha! Hunger will beat man like this. And we have to be obedient. We'll go to class during dissection. And that told me, but then they're finished. In fact, the most painful part was break. When the whole class would go to break to go and replenish. You are there in class. You dare not shift. Sit down there. Then the next more difficult, it was just as difficult part was when we're now going back to hostel. We used to close at 5. And fast used to break at 6. And the way to my hostel was via the bucateria. So as you are walking past like this, is in Jesus' name, I shall not be tempted. You now enter the room. You lay down there. You don't lie down there and begin to pray. That prayer, I don't know, because the prayer, I know the Lord, we worship you, worship you. I did it for a while, too. We all did these things. After a while, I found out it was not the will of God. I discontinued it. So when I say I'm anointed, I don't mean I fast more than other people. There was a day they said, Pastor, yeah, the boy said everybody should fast for 100 days. And at the end of 100 days, God will bless them. I said, don't worry, he blessed me before the year started. So you guys can continue. I'm joining. Look, Apostle, I'm as blessed as all those who did it too. if it's Pastor, God, you mean, I don't have to talk about it. Go and read the fast of God in Isaiah 58. It has nothing to do with hunger. Nothing. I was this one punishing the flesh to get credit with God. You're on your own. I left that church long ago. Church that is people doing things like that. Some people think I'm unserious. My wife thought I was very strange. She thought so, but she married me anyway, and she's not feeling bad about it 13 years after. The Lord is good. So what am I trying to explain? Listen, I'm not saying that I'm more anointed, you understand, because I've labored like that more than other people. No. What it simply means is that whatever it is that you see me executing, Paul said, it is not I, but the grace of God working with me. Anointing means I am what I am by the grace of God. Paul said, we are not adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who has made us, I like the word, sufficient, King James says, as servants of the new covenant. That's what anointing is. That's what grace is. Humility is to recognize that fact. They came to John and said, you know, I pray people will understand these things. I said, don't defend yourself. Sometimes churches quarrel. When I hear it, I laugh. I actually laugh. The man was a member in this church. He broke away and went and started his own. And they'll be telling the story as to make the man look bad. From time I laugh about it. Some will say, ever since he left, our members left. Listen, if your members left, it's not because he left, it's because you could not keep them. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Listen, if that man didn't go somewhere, nobody else would have taken them. How do I know? They came to John like that. That's how I'm telling the story. They say, John, remember that your cousin? That carpenter boy. that we baptized here the other day. I was there. I was one that made way for him just because we know him. You know, you've talked about him. That is a relative. So the crowd was plenty. We cleared the road for him that day. You finished baptizing him. Have you heard what he's doing? What? You know, one of our elders that time, Peter. Yes, he's now with him. And when he was leaving, he went and called Andrew and Philip. That's the church they go to now. John, what shall we do? John said, what is wrong with all of you? A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Did I not tell you that one that is greater than me is coming? I told you he must increase and I must decrease. That is true humility. If you're a pastor, don't ever be envious. No, their pastors have fight over. In fact, some drag themselves, go and call police. There's one man of God was telling me a story that the church used to attend. The man who started with his pastor, he showed up one day. Police now solved the matter. They stayed up all night changing the label on the stools. Assuming the church used to be Evangelistic Kingdom Association Church of Christ. So they have that thing on it. When Wahala said they went overnight and changed it to the Renewed Apostolic Mission of Christ International. He said he stayed up the whole night. When police came next day, they couldn't find the trace of the former label. Two men of God. What should they both have done? They should have just said, whoever wants it should take it. What should they have done? Simple. Both of them should have stood back and said, is it the building you want? You can have it. You want stools and chairs? You can have it. The human beings, I wish I could give them, but tell them they want to follow you, they can go. Then I will do you a favor. I will travel far and go and start preaching. If I'm called, you will know. You know, Pastor Paul, you told a story once. The fellowship he attended when he was on campus. He was not one of the senior people. Those who started the fellowship with the man who began it, he was not amongst them. So when that fellow was leaving, he decided to hand over to Pastor Podge, many of you know. So of course, people began to talk. He said, this is how they settled it. He said, there's no problem. Let's just start preaching. And people will know who the anointing fell upon. That's all. That there's no need to quarrel. Now, I'm adding this other one to it. Let's just do a roster. You preach this day, I preach next day. After some time, after we have finished preaching, let people decide who is carrying the unction. That's part of the thing I want to explain. It's not everything you fight for. I see business people fighting over customers. It's unnecessary. It's unnecessary. Like I say all the time, your blessing has a name. He has a label. You know, the one that used to make me laugh. You see two brothers quarreling over a sister. That is original madness. Very, very funny. Please tell, if there's a man beside you, tell his foolishness. It's foolishness. We got a lot of young single people here. Let me teach you that one for 10 seconds. You have to treat this matter like Lot and Abraham. Anyone he wants, then you just go away. It's only, how do I describe people who do things like that? I don't know. How do we describe them now? Ignorant people. Ignorant people. You ladies, I say, what am I talking about? The guys know what I'm talking about. Some people have been angry. I was almost engaged until he came. Ever since he showed up, that sister started, she started behaving funny. Are you angry with him? A man can receive nothing. You know, the Bible says houses and riches are from the fathers. What is from the Lord? So a man can receive not wife except she is given to him from above. No man can take the wife he is supposed to marry. You hear what I said? No man can take the wife you are supposed to marry. Many of those men just delivered you from the one you are not supposed to marry. It's deliverance. You'll have married the person you're not supposed to marry, so God quickly sent them to go and collect her. Whether she's good or bad, forget. The point is that it's not your own. Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
I didn't say the ladies should say amen. We're not talking to you. We're talking about you. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, because of time, please, I have to stop, all right? But there's something I just wanted to bring up. We'll get back to that later. What did Moses do? Moses always left God to defend him. Like the story I was telling about the pastor who people say, okay, who's the pastor of the church? Let's just start preaching. Anybody they want to follow, let them follow. There's no fight in it. There's no fight in it. People fight over ministries. He left this church. He took our members. Listen, their members are not your own. What did I say? They're not your own. They are the people of God. They can go anywhere they like to go and feed. I like what the Bishop Oedipo said once. He said one day, he was studying at night, and his wife came and said, "Ah, husband, why don't you go and sleep?" The man said, "Sleep? I can't sleep. Why can't I sleep? This is the reason." He said, "You know, pastor, this is so and so pastor." He said, "Yes." He said, "The wife comes to our church." He said, "If I don't study now, another pastor will come to town, you will start going to that church." He says, "Because of you, I'm studying. It's because of you, so that you as my wife won't start going to another church. So I must be rich with the word of God and have something to feed you with." So the woman, go and sleep, let me continue studying. What am I saying? If you don't want people to leave you, be spiritually resourceful. Give them something that's the word of God with which they will feed their souls and feed their spirits, and they'll be back. There are churches, our boss know what I'm talking about. They will do program when the church in front is doing a program, they will do one too, so that their members won't go there. Tell your neighbor, childishness. Let me tell you how to handle it. Tell your members, go. If you know it's a good place, say to them, so-and-so person is coming in town. Please, during that period, let's not do anything that will clash. It's important. I want all of you to attend. We're not trying to gather. We are trying to do what? Minister. You want to bless people. And like I say all the time, you are not the only preacher that's in the world. You are not the only one that God has given all the word to preach. Once I circulated the message by Andrew Womack that how to get God's best. One guy wrote an email that he didn't know preachers could do this. That I'm the preacher he's seen that are doing this. I was like, listen, all you need to do is listen to me enough. The number of people I've recommended while preaching. There are preachers I know, I won't mention their names. You think all the revelation just entered their head. They never mention anybody when they are preaching. Never. And some of them, I know them. I know where they came from. We all read these books. This Kenneth Higgins, Kenneth Copeland's. We all read these books. You stand there and be preaching, say, "Praise God, the Lord was speaking to me yesterday." What was the Lord speaking to you? He spoke that thing to people 20 years ago. Why are you bothering him to re-speak it? Just buy a book, read it, and you don't have, let the Lord speak something else. Are you getting my point? What revelation are you sharing that we have not heard before? Is your name Paul? No, the time Paul said, "Listen, this I didn't get from him." He was, because the message was so radically different and so dramatic, he had to emphasize that point. "Yeah, pastor, don't be afraid. Nobody's stealing your members. Because number one, you don't have any member anyway. You're on your own. People just come to hear you. If God sent them to help you, they will help you. They are not yours. They belong to Christ Jesus." Are you getting the point? What did Moses do? I wanted to open to it, but let's just leave it. When Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and On, when they stood up to challenge him, he said, simple, "Let's appear before God tomorrow. Let him just point to the person that he chose." That's all he said, though. There was no fight about it. The first time he got angry was when Dathan and Abiram refused to show up. Then if you go and check, you see it. When they came up like that, he first fell down before the Lord and began to say, "God, wait, did you call me or was I mistaken?" Because they don't worry, I called. He said, "Good. So tell them tomorrow, let me confirm who I called." When people challenge the high priesthood of Aaron, everybody drop your stick. Everybody drop your stick. Let's see the one that we bought. That's how to fight your own battles, to let God fight them. That's how to fight it. Just leave, say, "God, confirm if you, I mean, you know, oh God, I'm about to get into that area, but let me not go there. Let me not go there. Guys, let me just teach you another small thing. Listen. Are you hearing me? Listen. Are you hearing me? The Lord is good. There's no force in this thing. Are you getting my point? I'm talking in quotes, ladies, so that the ladies will know what we're talking about. There's no force in it. Just show up. If your head buds, you know what I mean? If the lady anoints your head with flour, good. If she doesn't, there's no fight in it. That's not your ministry. Are you getting my point? You don't beg. You know, you're not allowed to beg a woman. Say, please, Angela, if you don't marry me, I'm dead. All my life, you're the first person I'm loving. Is a lie. When you were 16, I knew who you loved. That your neighbor that I used to peep over the fence every time she's going to school. You're lying to us now. You're deceiving us. There's no begging in this matter. You show your intentions. You make it clear. You lay it open. If your flower buds or your rod buds, we thank God. If it doesn't bud, you collect it. You are not the high priest. You go somewhere else. Is that not so? The Bible says when you are persecuted in this city, flee to the next. People say, these brothers, I don't like what they are doing. They propose to one sister. And brother, yes, now when you did not answer, we will not die because of you. We will go somewhere else. See the scriptures. If you are persecuted in one city, flee to the next. Is that not in your Bible? You see, men, they will be standing persecution. I don't understand. Even Jesus did not allow us to stand persecution. He'll run. When they persecute you, he'll move to the next one. You are the only one that's calling. The phone does not ring in the other direction. Waiting. Suppose no sign by now. You call Angie. I called yesterday, you didn't pick. Oh, sorry, I was sleeping. Okay. Next time, pick. All right. After a while, you said you should read the signs. All the phones I know in Nigeria, they can ring both ways. Even Etisalat can call MTN. How come two of you are using MTN? Yet, her phone never rings. Okay, what's your birthday? Oh, God, you know, I was planning to come and give you a gift too. I don't know how I forgot. That one is God that has forgotten her. You know what I'm saying? You should understand that point. You leave this matter alone. Some women say, no, you have to prove her. Yeah, you must be hard to get. All right, you go soon jam. One man said, the heart that is too hard to be broken is the one that's too hard to be healed. Hard to get. Hard to get. And so one lady, where I know, he was doing hard to get. By the time she finally said, okay, let me just tell this guy. Ah, the woman was already engaged. I thought you were not interested. I'm not joking. There are people I know very well. I know the man, I know the woman. I know the wife he finally married. I don't know. That must have been an anointing for me to go that way. Apostle, what do you think? Maybe some people came here. Felix, you are listening to me. It's obvious somebody's not picking your calls or is not returning the calls. Stop calling her in Jesus' name, amen. Yes, don't worry. Very soon, all the calls you have called is a seed, amen. Isaac does not die. No, we discussed it before. Next time you call once you have called twice, he has answered. Because the power belongs to God, amen. It is true. What's the point I'm making? Let's do like Moses. This one don't be fight. No one answer that it's because I don't have money. It's not true. She just doesn't like you. Don't be by force. Eh? And not every woman will marry you. What am I doing now? But let's leave this thing now. Eh? Some of you came here with questions like that. I hope I've answered it. It wasn't planned, but we just had to answer this. So when you get back home now, get your phone, send a text message. How are you doing? Just want you to know I'm not calling you again. Pastor Bank said, I shouldn't call you again. And this is how you know that you're not supposed to call her again. She does not reply that text message or call you back to find out why. Just don't be angry. Say, if you know how much I've spent on her, you yourself, what were you trying to use money to bribe her for? It's good for you. Tell your neighbor, good for you. I hope you were blessed today. I hope you learned something today. But my main message was that issue of don't defend yourself. Allow God to defend you. Don't fight for your own, in quote, right. No. Allow God to give you that which is your own. I hope you've gotten my point.